of John as a series of Lent series. This is the third time today, third sermon series from John chapter 3. We'll look at the John chapter 2 and 1. This is the third time. From today, we'll be looking at two different people, John chapter 3 from Nicodemus and John chapter 3, unknown lady, and John chapter 4, we say Samaritan lady. So why they are struggling and why they came to Christ. And this is the first one that we look at individually, how they felt about Jesus Christ. Before reading the scripture, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we confess that you revealed yourself to us from the Bible. But sometimes we are very confused because it's a huge 66 books, and we don't have time to read. Sometimes we are very confused. Different stories that we encounter from the stories. Now, today we will see another story, a man called Nicodemus. As we are going through his life, and what he said to Christ and what he heard from Christ, would you please open our hearts so that we'll find some treasures from your scriptures. And give us your wisdom and enlighten our spirit so that we'll be in your peace and we'll be in your mercy and grace altogether. We pray your son in Jesus' name. Amen. Text is found from the Pew Bible page number 1129, John chapter 3, verse 1 through 21. But I'll going to read only 1 through 15, because 16 through 21 will be not that much that I'll be talking about today. So I'm going to read 1 through 15, page number 1129, John chapter 3. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things, these signs that you do unless God is with you." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? And can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is a spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, you speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." This is the Word of God. We just read a very interesting text. John chapter 3 it's a very interesting text, we can say. Like John chapter 2 we looked at last week, the storyline is very simple. And it's a Sunday school material, in Sunday school story. And we heard many times, we all know this story. However, like John chapter 2, once we get into the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, something weird. It comes so complicated, and sometimes we don't understand what they are trying to say each other. I felt two lanes going here. Jesus saying this way and then Nicodemus answering this way. They will never meet. For example, Jesus talks about some heavy theological issues actually here, such as the kingdom of God, and a born again, and a flesh, and spirit, and earthly things, heavenly things. And he said, Moses' snake, wow, and the Son of God should be lifted up. And then how about Nicodemus? Did he really understand what Jesus told him? Well, no, not at all. Two times he said, how? How? I don't get it. In verse 4 and verse 9. And then Jesus answered these how questions but also he challenged Nicodemus by saying and teaching him. And in verse 7 said, don't be surprised. And verse 10 said, are you the teacher of Israel and then yet you do not understand these things? The teacher of Israel means very distinguished teacher. That's why there's article the teacher of Israel. Anyway, Jesus scolded him and tried to teach him, you don't know about this. Now, that's interesting. Another interesting thing that we found here is that in the middle of their conversation, if we carefully reading this passage, in the middle of this conversation and Jesus teaching, Nicodemus disappears. He didn't say bye, and I get it, I don't know. He disappears from the scene. Now, he didn't understand what Jesus said, so he could not, argue with him. Maybe he could have argued with him because he's very knowledgeable based on his study and knowledge of the scripture. More, maybe he could have said again, how? Okay, I don't understand. Like a Moses? What does it mean? But he didn't. Rather, he disappears from the story. I guess Jesus' teaching was too much for him. Sometimes the Bible, we read the Bible, teaching we found, and it's too much for us. Either he could not understand what Jesus said, or he didn't want. Okay, I didn't want. I didn't know about that. I didn't get that. I didn't want to understand. Anyway, he walked away from the scene and Jesus Christ and his teaching. But the interesting thing is, if you read the book of John, and Nicodemus will appear two more times in chapter 7 and chapter 19. Now, compared to chapter 3, we see his life is dramatically different in chapter 7 and chapter 19. And I'll be talking about 7 and 19 at the end of my sermon. Let's look at Nicodemus together. Now, here our text describes that he was a ruler of the Jews in verse 1. Now, that means that he was a member of the Sanhedrin. That means one of 71, a very specialized people. They know about the law and everything. A supreme ruling council of the Jews. They got the power. Now, one day, Nicodemus heard about the ministry of Jesus Christ. And how did he know about Jesus Christ? We know that chapter 2 ends like this, based on chapter 2, 23. Many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. So like John the Baptist, Jesus became a popular figure in their culture at the time. And as John describes, many people came to him and believed in his name because they saw the signs of Jesus Christ he performed. Now, at this point, we have to think about it. People knew about him. That means the Sanhedrin council members heard about him as well. But it's interesting that they did not send any delegate to investigate Jesus and his ministry at this time. They sent their delegates to John the Baptist. They tried to find out who he was and ask him lots of questions. But not this time. They knew what's happening. They heard about him. They must have heard about Jesus changed the water into wine in John chapter 2 and other miracles. But yet, that did not send anybody to find out who really Jesus was. That's kind of interesting why they didn't do it. But here, one guy, among the 71 people, one guy named Nicodemus was different, a little bit different. He was wondering about Jesus Christ and his ministry. All the miracles are happening. So one particular night, he decided to visit Jesus Christ. Now, we're not sure why he came to Jesus by night. Two possible scenarios that we can think of. The first one is Nicodemus did not want to reveal his identity. People know him because he did not want to hurt his career or honor or reputation. But secondly, he wanted to meet Christ at night because he needed more time to discuss and ask questions to Jesus Christ, because usually at night Jesus was not working and sitting at home. So Nicodemus had a lot of questions regarding Jesus Christ. So he needed some extra Q&A time with Jesus Christ when Jesus was not busy. Two possibilities. Theologians talking about that, I agree. But I think probably second one is more understandable. But anyway, whether he wanted to hide his identity or he wanted to have more extra time with Christ, the thing is, he came to Christ. He decided to come to Christ. That is important. And in verse 2, he said, as soon as he saw Christ, Rabbi. And we know. Two things that we should think about this verse based on what he said. The first, he called Jesus as Rabbi. Now, we know that in chapter 1, Andrew called Jesus Rabbi when he came to Jesus. Now, Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist who was looking for truth, a student of John the Baptist, and he wants to see. But when he heard, behold, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lord of God, when he heard about that, he decided to follow Jesus Christ. He wants to be a student of Jesus Christ. And so when he came to Christ, he said, Rabbi. That's understandable. It's right for him to call him Rabbi. But here is different. Nicodemus was a different situation. He himself was a rabbi. He was a teacher, a distinguished teacher. And at that time, if you want to be a rabbi, if you want to be called a rabbi, you need to go to extensive, like a theological education, learning about the law and all those stuff. Now, we know that Jesus didn't go any of that education system, rabbi education at all. So it will be very awkward, and people hearing that a rabbi, true rabbi, came to Christ and calling him a rabbi. One more, at the same time, Jesus was a young man at that time, about 30 years old. And Nicodemus was more than that. To be a member of the Sanhedrin, it should be more than 60 years old. He's a really old man. So, we can say, technically, realistically, there's no reason for him to call Jesus rabbi. But he did. That tells us something. He got something in his heart. He wants to know about Jesus Christ. He knew that Jesus has something. He was really thirsty to know about that situation. So Nicodemus came to Jesus with respect and thirstiness and honor, everything, bringing his luggage bag with him. So when he comes to Jesus, he said, Rabbi. And he said one more time here later, we know that you are a teacher from God. In verse 2, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. Lots of things here. Well, we understand what he's trying to say. Many things we can talk about from this verse. First of all, Nicodemus mentioned that there were many other people. He said, we know that. That means many other people. That means members of Sanhedrin. Among the 71 people, they knew that something is going on with Jesus Christ. They think that God's power and grace is with him. That's why he called him Jesus as a teacher and rabbi. And secondly, now Nicodemus is telling the facts, the reality. Secondly, although Nicodemus came to Jesus, this is the fact, he did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the prophet. He called him a teacher. Nicodemus considered Jesus as a teacher. That's his starting. Now, who had the power of God? Now, from based on his testimony in chapter 3 and verse 2, we can see that why he came to Christ to visit him. He wants to know about him more. He wants to make sure that he's got something, there's anything that he can learn, anything that he didn't know about God. So he came. Probably he wants to know about the restoration of the kingdom of Israel and the promised one and the Messiah. Now, however, Jesus' response to him in verse 3 did not help him at all. Now, Jesus says two times in truly, truly. It's very unique in John chapter 3. Three times and Jesus said it's kind of really, really, really. It's passion with his saying, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 3. Now, Nicodemus was very confused, must have felt that puzzled and confused by what Jesus said to him. He came to Christ not because he was wondering about the kingdom of God, how to enter the kingdom of God. By the way, he knew about all the stuff. He knew about the kingdom of God more than anyone else because he was a teacher. As a Pharisee, he knew about that. It is all about the law and his own righteousness by keeping the law and all the teachings. It's all about God's people, not somebody else. God's people, the Israelites. The kingdom of God came to at the end of the world, impossibly, and then he and his people will be automatically enter the kingdom of God. That's his faith. Automatically, I'll be with God. And by the way, he did not want to know about that. You know, what he wanted to talk about was how come you get that power, the power of God with you? How come you're sharing lots of miracles? And unfortunately, Jesus didn't go that way to answer his questions. Probably Nicodemus was a bit disappointed by his response. As a teacher of law, but he could not ignore what Jesus just said, born again. Now, these two words really bothered him a lot. He already, as I mentioned, already knew then how to enter the kingdom of God. He understood the kingdom of God. But Jesus said, no, born again. And what does it mean? How can a man get into his mom's womb and be born again? That's his logical thinking working there. Logically speaking, it's nonsense. It's impossible. No one can do that. And at the same time, he didn't have to do that. Because he is a member of God's kingdom. God's kingdom is his. So Nicodemus tried to argue with Jesus Christ that, hey, are you serious? Okay, teach me here. And I know about this, but you say no one could go. No one could go back to my mother's womb. And how can you explain to this? Here Jesus challenged him again and again in verse 5 through 8. In verse 7, Jesus says, told him that, hey, don't be surprised by you must be born again. More confusing. If I were Nicodemus sitting with Jesus Christ, I'm kind of lost. I don't know what he's trying to say, but let's look at his story again. It seems that the idea of being born again looks very crazy or illogical to Nicodemus, but Jesus tells him that, hold on one second, I know you cannot understand that one, but don't be surprised. Why? Don't be surprised by the concept, the meaning of the being born again. Why? In verse 5, Jesus explains, truly, truly, I say to you, unless the one is born again, water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Once again, Nicodemus was confused again about what Jesus said. However, in a moment, as a teacher of the law, he must have remembered what the scripture says about water and spirit when Jesus said, born of water and the spirit in verse 5. Let's go back a little bit about the Old Testament. There are a few passages we read today in the Old Testament It talks about water and the spirit, like Isaiah chapter 55, Zechariah chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 47, a lot of things. And however, in all these texts, the best one is Ezekiel chapter 36, 25, and 27 we read today. It says, I will sprinkle clean water on you. God is saying to his people, I will sprinkle water to clean you. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. Now God is saying that it's not about you, but I am going to do that. And then he said, I will put my spirit within you. Now, what Jesus tried to say to Nicodemus was really clear. It's not about you and your law and your teaching, your faith in the law, but it's God. God is working in your heart. He's the one who makes you being born again. So, you know all this teaching from the Bible. You know that. Don't be surprised by that. It's not the law or your knowledge of the law makes you righteous before God, but the Spirit of God. So since you are the teacher of Israel, if you know it, don't be surprised. And Jesus added a few more words in verse 8. He says, the wind blows where it wishes and they hear its sounds, but you do not know where it comes from and where it goes. So it is when everyone who is born of the Spirit. Jesus tells him a mystery of the work of the Holy Spirit. Although we cannot understand, and we cannot see the wind is coming and going, but we surely know that the wind comes and goes. But Jesus said the same is true with the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. You will not understand, but the Spirit will come and work in your heart. That He is the one who will give you a new life. I don't know. I thought about a lot about Nicodemus this week. At this point, did he understand? Because Jesus Christ is putting Old Testament together and try to help him. The meaning of the being born again, born again. Unfortunately, Nicodemus didn't get it. Maybe he didn't want to accept his teaching, the work of the Holy Spirit. So here at this point, Jesus challenged him again. He challenged Jesus Christ again and say, how? Second time, how can this things be? Now, Jesus Christ explained it nicely before. Remember that Old Testament? Now, this time, he rebukes him, rebukes his lack of his faith, and rebukes his denial and ignorance of the truth. And he says in verse 10, Are you a teacher of the Israel, yet you do not understand these things? John did not tell us about Nicodemus' feeling at the time. Probably was the most embarrassing moment for him. He's the one who knows about the law. He was the teacher of the law. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He came with honor and respect to see Jesus Christ, but he was rebuked by a young man. And then Jesus' teaching goes deeper in verse 11 and 13. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. Verse 12, if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Now we see how things are going. Nicodemus was very confused. He didn't get anything. Verse 13, no one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of God. If we know all the story because Jesus died and he rose again from the dead, we know all the story because with that knowledge, if you read this passage, we know that, oh, Jesus is talking about his death and everything. But Nicodemus didn't get it. Basically, Jesus was saying, I want to say the gospel, the good news, And he's saying that I'm telling the truth that all the things in the Old Testament talking about me, I am the Son of God, I am the Messiah. We didn't know what happened to Nicodemus' mind at this point, but we know what other Samaritan and other Sanhedrin members will say by Jesus' words, based on John chapter 10, verse 33. Blasphemy! This is not right. Being a man and make yourself God. Then finally, Jesus told a story about from the Old Testament in verse 14. He tells why and what happened based on the Old Testament. He says, verse 14, and Moses lift up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. This is pretty much the end of his teaching here. We know the story of a bronze serpent in number 21. The storyline is this. God saved his people, the Israelites. But we know that they began grumbling, complaining about their situation, and said, Numbers 21, verse 5. I see myself here. Oh, this is exactly me. And they said, we have you brought us up out of Egypt. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness, for there is no food and no water? And they were complaining. Then God sent serpents. Many of them died at the sin. Eventually, they repented of their sins and asking for God's salvation. In number 28, chapter 21, verse 8 says, and the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on the pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. Now, Jesus is talking about this story to Nicodemus. Like the story, like the bronze serpent, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Did you get it? Telling. Jesus saying. Like everyone in the Old Testament who was bitten, they were dying. There's no hope. When they see the pole, Bible says they shall live. And whoever believes in him who was lifted up on the cross, Jesus says, may have eternal life. In other words, Jesus is saying that, I read this text many, many times. I thought, oh, what if he just said, you know what? I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. You came to me to know about me. Let's sit down and let's talk about Old Testament. That would be very easy for Nicodemus to understand, but Jesus didn't go that way. But as we read all the stories here, we see that Jesus is telling him the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's saying that, hey, I am the one, I am the Messiah, Lamb of God, the Lamb of God. I am the Son of God. Now here, a question comes to our mind is, what happened to Nicodemus? Did he get it this time? He got a very special lecture from Jesus Christ. It's very rare. And sitting with Jesus Christ and talking, and it's very rare. He came to Christ because of his spiritual thirstiness. He wants to know about the truth. And did he get it? I don't know. John didn't say anything about Nicodemus after this. He just disappeared from the story. John didn't say anything about his faith in Christ in chapter 3. Now, most scholars understand that Nicodemus left Jesus at this point with so many questions and doubts in his heart. But it's interesting to look at another story found in John chapter 7. John chapter 7, 50 and 52, verse 50, 52. Now, people try to arrest Jesus Christ and arguing with him and saying that here at this moment, one of Sanhedrin members, Nicodemus, stood up saying to people, say, does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does? So with all the people, now Nicodemus is saying, I know a little bit about him. We cannot arrest him. Now here in John chapter 7, Nicodemus was a little bit changed. He's trying to protect Jesus Christ. We see that something is happening in his heart. In John chapter 19, it tells more about Nicodemus. Verse 38 to 41. I'm going to read it to you. John chapter 19, verse 38 and 41. After these things, Joseph or Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, which means when Jesus died on the cross, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And then he got Jesus Christ's body. And verse 39, here we see the name Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, exactly the same thing we read, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes and about 75 pounds in weight. Verse 40, so they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with spices, as it is burial custom of Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. Isn't that amazing? He came to Christ with lots of doubts and questions, and he didn't believe that. He called him as a teacher. But in chapter 7, something happened between in chapter 1 and 7. It took years. He tried to protect Jesus Christ because he found something in Christ. He tried to understand that he is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. Now in chapter 19, he came before the Christ, the cross. And no one came, but he came. He did not understand when Jesus said, must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Actually, he did not believe that at all. But the very moment when Jesus died on the cross, when Jesus was lifted up and he died on the cross, now he knew that all the pieces from the Old Testament he could not connect together, and all the things that Jesus said, the Son of God and lifted up, the very moment he realized that he is the Messiah. And he realized that no one can enter the kingdom of God but through only faith in Christ. No one can help us to enter the kingdom of God but only the help from the Holy Spirit. Surely he is the Messiah. We see his life is dramatically changing in our text. And John concludes. He didn't say anything about Nicodemus in our text in chapter 3, but he concludes, move on to chapter 3, verse 16, and explains more about what's happening in verse 16 in our text. For why Jesus died. Now, John explains it. And then scholars believe that Jesus is not saying to Nicodemus, but John explains it based on Jesus' teaching after this. And Jesus says why he had to die. And he explains, for God so loved, one of the famous verses, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Why Jesus died on the cross? Why Jesus suffered on the cross? Why he resurrected from the dead on the third day? John chapter 3, verse 16. Because God loves you and me. God so loved the world. Everything that happened to us, everything happened to Nicodemus, his misunderstanding, and finally he understood. Because God loved him. We became the children of God. We now enter the kingdom of God, not based on our righteousness, but faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus says, verse 15, whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Now, I was so busy telling you about Nicodemus at this moment. It's not you and me. However, can we find ourselves in his story? God reminds us of his love and his promise, his covenant promise from this story. Can we find ourselves like a Nicodemus? We're looking for something. Maybe some of you here sitting here today, oh, I want to know more about Jesus Christ, but I don't get it. We are spiritually thirst, hunger for Christ. That's why we came to church. That's why we want to know about Jesus Christ and reading lots of books, even the Bible. Then look at Nicodemus' life. Finally, he got it. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Finally, he got the treasure. Yes, nothing but Jesus Christ. No one can do that, but only Christ. This time of Lent season, we're going to bring all the questions to Christ again and wondering about his work in our life. But I want to make sure that this is what the scripture says from chapter 1 and 2 and 3 in Nicodemus. Jesus Christ, he is the Messiah. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Son of God. So must be Son of Man be lifted up. And then we will enter the kingdom of God by our faith in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for another text that we looked at today, Nicodemus. Well, we know the story. Maybe we assume that he was a Christian before coming to Christ. But we know he's struggling, his inner struggling. And we see ourselves there too. We want to know about you more. And we want to become like you every day. But one thing that Nicodemus learned about it is Jesus died on the cross. He must be lifted up like a Moses, Paul. Would you please teach us about this one, this time of Lent season? You had to die for us and our sin. All these things happen to us because of God's love. That help us to remember your love this week and remember your teaching from our scripture. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen.